Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Tyler, and this week we are going to be talking about how to talk to kids about COVID and kind of just the differences in the worldwide pandemic and what that is doing to the families that we care about. And to do that, I have brought on Jen Daly. Hello, Jen.
Hello, Martha. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is a weird time in our lives.
It is. It certainly is. And I first discovered you on the Notable Women page on Facebook. Our mutual friend, Kristen, started that, and you have been posting videos on there that I personally have found so helpful. And so I thought my listeners might also find it helpful to hear from you. And we will certainly link in the show notes to your page so that anyone listening who wants more can go watch your videos.
Great, thank you.
There will be more. Yes. Before we get started talking about the worldwide pandemic, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I, first things first, my first job ever was being a mother's helper.
Yeah.
And I got paid $25 for the whole week and wound up being basically attacked by a monster for a week. So that was my first job. And yet I loved it because the times that were fun were like really, really awesome. So that was, I was a camp counselor and I was a nanny and put myself through graduate school being a nanny. And I think at my heart of hearts, you know, when I was in third grade, I wanted to be an architect and I'm terrible at math. I have something called dyscalculia. So it makes it very hard to do math. Yeah. And my, third grade teacher said, well, Jenny, if you want to be, you know, an architect, you got to be good at math. And I looked right at him and I said, well, then I'm not going to be an architect. And I like found out that there was this job where there were like grownups whose whole job was to like play with kids and help them feel better. It's like, wait, you just play all day long and like talk about feelings, but you're playing while you do it. I'm like, sign me up. That's for me. So I loved being a nanny. I loved being a babysitter when I was younger. Sometimes I still think about like, yeah, I really enjoy being a therapist, but sometimes I actually just want to play, right? Like, I don't want to deal with the heaviness. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. I just like, I like this family. I'll just move in. Right. With some of my families, we even joke. They're like, can't you just move? And I'm like, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, but so my heart is with really being, you know, embedded in the family. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like that's kind of like my model as a therapist. Like I'm part of the family and, you know, I'm part of the conversation. And so that's, you know, at my core is that's where I come from. And that's where I will always be, you know, a part of.
Yeah, and that's so lovely, and it's very lovely for me to hear, as I'm on a similar journey of having been a nanny and now in grad school to become a family counselor. So, I really enjoyed hearing that journey.
Great.
So now getting into worldwide pandemic, I've been seeing a lot when I look at the Facebook groups for nannies and things like that, and just talking to my friends that are nannies, about nannies and everyone, but particularly nannies feeling really tired right now and unmotivated, or like they're just treading water, like progress isn't happening with their kids the way that it was. Can you talk about how grief might manifest into some of those types of feelings?
Yeah, so holy cow, are we tired?
Yeah.
Right, like so parents are tired, kids are tired, nannies are tired, therapists are tired. I think every single, just today, just the sessions I had today, every single person was talking about this deep, bone-weary fatigue and tiredness and like lack of motivation. And, you know, I'm going to assume that most of your listeners are, you know, people who are really thoughtful, you know, good citizens trying to do what they can to like stay home, shelter in place, social distance, wear your mask, like do whatever you need to do. Right. And we're freaking, it's like, I'm so tired of doing it. Right. And there's so much loss. Right. So where I live, I'm in Western Massachusetts. We've been doing this for 8 weeks. You know, today marks the beginning of week 9. We probably have, you know, another at least 6 weeks before there's some semblance of normalcy really again.
Right.
At least. And it's right. Like that we've lost a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. So our kids have lost, you know, like they've lost all these normal ending processes that happen in the springtime for schools or preschools or daycares.
Right.
Parents have lost who they know themselves to be in a lot of ways. I'm gonna make an assumption that a lot of folks who are nannies are working for families where the parents are very career oriented, mm-hmm. and they're really driven. And they're used to going at 150% all the time, mm-hmm. right? And so on the flip side of that, now you might still be nannying and the parents might still be trying to do that, but maybe they're like also doing that like on top of you.
Right.
And like, why aren't you 150% all the time also, right? Like yeah. This really intense space. And like you're, you know, being a nanny is weird because you're in the family and of the family, but you are not the family.
Right.
No matter how much you all love each other and get along and how wonderful it is, there's still that piece of it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of sadness and grief, and sadness and grief manifest in not feeling motivated, in feeling really tired, in feeling like nothing tastes right. Right? Like yeah. the flavor of life is off. Mm-hmm. And like even the stuff you like to do, like I like to do like embroidery, but it doesn't feel satisfying right now. It's just like a thing I'm doing. Right? Because yeah. You gotta do something.
Yeah, sometimes even to me, like colors feel more muted right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like when I'm looking around, like I went on a walk to like search for beautiful flowers, and they were beautiful and they're colorful, but it just like didn't hit me in the same way.
Yeah.
That it usually does.
Like the all the like really good juicy stuff that like normally you can just sit there and like revel in it, even if it's just for like a second, right? Yeah. It's not the same. It's no. Just not the same. And that's all part of the grief, because you can be, you know, in a really joyous moment, right? So here you are, you're a nanny, you're with your kiddos right now, and you guys are like making the most epic fort and having this wonderful imaginative battle of like, you know, good guys versus pirates and the whole thing, and like really having a blast and like really smiling and laughing and giggling. And it's still got this mask or this veil of sadness over it.
Yeah.
And like we have that as adults, right? The kids have it too, but they don't have a freaking clue that that's what they're dealing with. It's just there.
Right. Right. And they don't have the language or the cognitive abilities to really understand it yet.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, so there are two, maybe even three, maybe unlimited, but three that I want to talk about points to that of like, so self-care for the nanny is important. I think I find that I am sleeping almost 10 hours on the weekends. per night. Like I really, my dad commented, he's like, we don't hear from you very much on the weekends. And he was like, that's not good or bad, just an observation. And I was like, you know what? I'm really like being protective of my weekends, of not taking on like anyone else's stuff. Of like the weekends are just Martha's stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah. And it's hard. But it's, I have found it to be very, very important for me. But then, yeah, that child piece. So there were so many changes like all at once for kids.
Yeah.
Of now nanny and parents are home together and like my schedule, you know, maybe I went to daycare 3 days a week and now I'm not doing that. We can't go to the playgrounds like we used to be able to. Like food is different right now of like when you run out of blueberries, it might be longer until you get more blueberries than it used to be. Things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like this conveyor belt. It feels like that Lucy, I Love Lucy sketch of like,
yeah, yeah, that is, you and you're never going to catch up,
right?
And chocolate's wonderful and it's joyful and it's this great thing. And then it's just going. Yeah. It's insane. That's a great image. Yep.
Yeah. And so it feels like that. And so how can nannies help like hold space for the big feelings of all these changes that are taking place and might get brought up in the kids that we nanny and we can see it, but it's not manifesting in like, hey, I'm feeling sad because.
Right. So one, I want to remind everybody of what our obligations and priorities are, right? Because this is really important for self-care. So your first priority is to yourself,
right?
And then to your family, and then to your job.
Yeah.
Right. So like, and I listen, when you're a nanny, like you can give your whole heart to the family and those kids can give their whole heart to you and it's still a job.
Right.
Right. So you really do have to take care of yourself first and then your family and then your job. Yeah. Right. So first and that's a hard thing for us to hold, especially like, you know, there's like something that started happening in like the early 80s where like you had to maximize everything all of the time and optimize and be this wonderful, productive being.
Right.
Right. But like what happened to the 70s when we could like hang out, right? Like, you know, corporate rating and all of that, but like we don't have to be that in our jobs and being a nanny is still a job, right? It's not, right? So like, and it's one of those career paths, one of those jobs where those boundaries can get really confusing, but holding really good boundaries for yourself is that first step to being able to help support these little guys with really big feelings.
Right.
Right. So if you don't have the boundaries for your own space and your own health and well-being and your own boundaries, it makes it incredibly difficult to be present and hold that space for our kids.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes kids say stuff or like acting in a way and you're like, I am not qualified for that. Right. And I'm a therapist. And so it's like, I'm not qualified for this. Right.
Yeah.
But, and I've been doing this like 20 years or something ridiculous like that and can still have that instinct, that impulse. So to just validate, right. Not make their feelings or their temper or their meltdown or whatever, not making it wrong and really just validating and validation when you don't know what to say and you have no idea what feeling they're feeling, but it is clear that there is some sort of upset that this kid is dealing with. Just saying, I know this is so hard, right? You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to say, but we got to get going, but we still got to get our socks on, right? Like not right. This is so hard and,
right?
It's not an and statement. It's not an or statement. It's not a but statement. It's a full, complete, whole validating statement of, this is so hard, mm-hmm. right? And I think you'll find that if you can just hold that one validating statement and not add any other agenda to it,
right.
you'll find that the kids will start, like their whole energy will start lowering and coming down. And I don't know if you know about the zones of regulation, which is a OT, occupational therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, sensory integration, social skills kind of concept. But we have these four zones, blue, green, yellow, and red. You can imagine what those different zones might be, emotionally speaking. But when a kid is in like the red or yellow zone and they're so melting down and overwhelmed and can't handle it, a validating statement from a trusting adult that is free of agenda other than validation brings that energy down really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen that in practice, but it's really nice to know the theory behind it.
Yeah.
And it is, it's so hard to just leave it there. Mm-hmm. But I will say, and I say it all the time on the podcast, that nannies have the gift of time, right? Mm-hmm. So parents and other caregivers, a lot of times are balancing, they're juggling their jobs, they're juggling kids, they're juggling all these things. Nannies, our job is to spend time with the child. Mm-hmm. And that's really lovely. And I feel like one small gift in all of this is that we're not running out of the door to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And so because I find that those types of meltdowns often happen when we're like moving from one thing to another.
Yeah. Transitions are hard. Transitions are like these little pain points of loss.
Right.
Like I was playing with my Legos and now I have to put my shoes on to go somewhere I don't really want to go, or like brush my teeth or something terrible like that. How dare you? but that is a little loss, and that little pain point of loss can like release the flood of emotion right now.
Yeah. And so I do think that, yeah, just really like validating statement and just sitting there with them
mm-hmm.
is probably one of the most powerful things you can do right now.
Yeah.
That's really great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And like, you don't need anything other than this is really hard.
Right.
This is so hard right now.
Yep. Yeah. I just listened to, Brené Brown has a podcast. Mm-hmm. And she was interviewing Harriet Lerner and, about apologies. Mm-hmm. And in a similar idea, Harriet Lerner said that for children, an apology with no like follow-up or like logical breakdown is the most important thing to model for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of a similar thing of like the apology is validating that the adult did something wrong.
Yeah.
And then just leaving it.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, just like, Mama, you're yelling, or, you know, Miss Martha, you're screaming all the time. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's powerful, but it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah, it's so hard. But I'm stressed, and I have all these explanations and justifications and excuses, and I'm my shouting was valid.
Yeah. And it's like no. For the children, especially, you got to just own it and sit in it.
Yeah.
So. There's also, kids are feeling really scared about this virus that even as an adult who is like trying my best to understand, I also feel like I feel like even scientists don't really understand yet exactly what we're dealing with.
Yep.
And so are there developmentally appropriate resources for kids, or how can we talk to them about the virus with information but not scaring?
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, you know, we've been doing this a long time now. So kids do have a certain amount of information. I think the way I've been phrasing it for kids who are, say, like 6 or 7 and under is that when we get sick, we stay home from school or preschool or whatever, right?
Right.
But there's a sickness going around right now that so many people have that everybody has to stay home. We're having a whole worldwide sick day, right? And so, you know, when you're sick and, but you're like sick, but you still have to stay home for an extra day, but you like feel kind of good. So like you still do a little bit of reading or playing or whatever, but you can't go out places. It's like a whole worldwide sick day. And kids really get the concept of sick day and not getting others sick.
Right.
And, you know, as things are starting to open up, right, like there, things are going to change. So we're going to have to be able to like talk to kids about wearing masks. Right, because children are going to have to be wearing masks if they're going to be allowed to go out places. They're going to have to stay away from things and not touch things.
Right.
If any of the kids you've ever worked with, or any of your listeners have ever worked with, or anything like me, I am like a touch monster. Right, like I touch everything in every store. Right, like I was the kid who would like run away and hide in like the circular clothing rack just because it was a cool fort. Right. But like touching everything everywhere. You know, like rubbing my face on the escalator rails, right? Like that level of stuff. So it's going to be really different, and the kids are going to feel our stress about that. So one, we got to talk to the kids about like, no, we can't touch anything. So let's keep our hands in our pockets, right? Let's pretend we're holding a baby bird or something, you know, let's hold the chick in our hands, some way to help them really understand where their arms need to be. Mm-hmm. But I think every grown-up who's caring for children is going to have to think long and hard, is it worth bringing my child to this place right now, knowing that I'm going to have to be controlling and harping on them?
Right.
Like, because you're going to have to be, right? So if you're going somewhere and you really need your kid not to touch stuff, and you've got maybe a sensory sensitive kid that you're working with that doesn't like hand sanitizer or washing their hands or something like that, then you've really got to consider, how worth it is this outing that we're going on?
That's a really good point. And also consider what kind of nanny and parenting philosophy you have been using. Because there, you know, there's certain, like, if you're working in a rye household, like, that's, you're going to have to lay some more groundwork for, I have to say no to more things right now to keep you safe.
Right.
Than I usually do.
Right.
And just knowing that being just out in front of that, the child is not bad or different for having those impulses, that the situation has changed.
Absolutely. Pre-teaching and being proactive is totally key.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you know this, kids are amazing, right? They're so resilient, and they want so much to please us and to do the right thing and to take care of each others. So when they're trying their best and they make a mistake, if we harp on that, that's hard on them, right? If we pre-teach them and really give them the tools and then give them like reminders of how to do that and fun games to play around that. So like, I don't know if you know the book, Stop Dog Stop, Go Dog Go.
Yeah,
so like I know a lot of families who live in big cities where that's how they like walk around the city. So they're, you know, the grown-ups with them, the nannies with them don't have to, you know, constantly hold their hand or say, wait for me. You got too far ahead, right? So that they can play stop, dog, stop, go, dog, go, right? And play, really bringing playfulness to it.
Yeah.
And you can do that with like touching stuff, like, you know, let's pretend that everything we touch is gonna, you know, is too hot to handle, right? Like playing hot lava or something like that.
Right.
So really bringing a playfulness to it will help kids, one, know that it's not so super scary, so it brings their anxiety level down, but gives you a tool to be in communication with them in a particular way that you're like training them to listen.
Right.
But not in a stressed out way.
Yeah.
So you're not having to say, no, like, let's keep our hands in our pockets because, you know, there's hot lava out there, you know, and making a game. And it's something you can practice at home.
Yes, that's key. I have found success with freeze dancing and then taking that out in the world. So when we say freeze, then they freeze in place and like often are statues. And sometimes I'll take it further and like comment on whatever statue form they are so that they get like that attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. So it's a game that you can play in the household and then you can bring it out as a safety measure for and like management measure later. That's a really brilliant like groundwork line. That's a, that's a really important.
And I find it helpful because I transition it from music playing, no music playing, which is like outside of me, right? Like, and then we transition to like freeze tag almost in the house and then we take it out. So
yeah. So it's really playing with a concept.
Right.
So whatever, it's funny that, you know, we're talking about it in this way. This isn't where I thought our conversation was going to go, but I love that this is where we're going. They've done some research around how many repetitions does it take a child to learn something? And the research is showing that it takes about 10 repetitions of a new concept for a child to learn it, unless they learn it through play. And if they learn it through play, it takes 3.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, you can tell them, don't touch, but you're going to be wasting, you know, like 2/3 of your energy there. Mm-hmm. Where if you can start with the concepts through play and then just transition it to different environments, they're going to get it. It's going to be more fun. You're going to have much more ease in your life that way.
Yeah, that's really great. One more resource for anyone listening who especially is working with quite young children, preschool and below. I found the Sesame Street Town Hall about COVID-19 to be very helpful.
Yeah.
It gave me a lot of language. My kids watched it with their parents on the weekend. Like we kind of all watched it apart and then came back and were able to use some of that language. So
Yeah, that was really great. I think PBS is doing a really phenomenal job in general, right? So there's the Sesame Street Town Hall. There's like, you can like go Google Daniel Tiger and coronavirus and there is an episode like talking about germs. And then there's like the PBS Parents tab, but applies for nannies also. And they've got like amazing stuff there.
Yeah.
So you really like as a central family friendly, you know, balanced and thoughtful approach, I think you can't really go wrong there.
Right.
So for
just throwing that out there, if anyone is feeling like they might need more resources, more language, because certainly, though this is a jumping off place, this one podcast episode will not be enough. So
you won't? Are you sure?
I know. I wish it was. So I think we're all, I mean, all of us experiencing like extra meltdowns right now. So both children and adults, I feel myself, you know, when like a slight thing goes wrong, if I like miss a traffic light that I was really hoping to catch or whatever, even though I don't really have anywhere to be, you know, like it just hits me harder right now when things go a little wrong. So how can we help kids work through those meltdowns?
Yeah. So we're in a time of great magnification, right? So the things that kids are, or us grownups are really good at, we are like totally rocking it out right now. And the stuff that is tricky for us, we are completely bombing, right? And there's very little in between, right? So one, like, so we're going to have more meltdowns. I get cantankerous when I'm grumpy or when I'm like stressed out, I get really cantankerous. And I've been really cantankerous.
Yeah.
So for the adults, right, first is to like really notice that that is the emotion that you're having, right? And I like to take a deep breath and just like kind of like check in with myself, like, is this worth it? Right? Like, I'm like really mad about how my wife just cut the broccoli.
Right.
Right? Like, is that like a reasonable, am I like, is this worth it? Right? Not like, I'm not justified in being angry because the broccoli's wrong, right?
Because
that's not a winning argument for me with myself. But like to say, like, is it worth it to engage here right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, and I can let it go, take a deep breath, let it go. If I really want to engage, right, then I need to put myself in timeout.
Yeah.
So when kids are having meltdowns, right, planning ahead for how are we going to handle it, mm-hmm. right? So you will be ineffective at best if you are trying to teach a calm down skill when a kid is already upset.
Right.
Right. So once they're dysregulated, so once they're in this meltdown zone, they're like their frontal lobes, their neocortex isn't really online for like logic and reason and language and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that is working in that moment is their limbic system sending out all of their stress hormones. So
excellent place to
right. And your mind is a really dangerous neighborhood to live in. So you know, pre-teaching. So like noticing, like to say like, hey, Sarah, I notice that transitions are extra tricky these days. Right. And I know you don't like feeling that way. And it's so hard and upsetting when it's so tricky. And I know I want to be able to help you with those moments. You know, how about we practice some ways to you know, shake it out of our body, mm-hmm. right? And I find that even kids, even four-year-olds I work with really appreciate knowing that their brains are working in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's just their brain response and not like them being bad, naughty, melting down, out of control, right? So really explaining and working through with them, like, and I've got videos on my website that explain like what our brains are doing on stress that are appropriate for kids. If you want more language around that.
Yeah.
Like we have our like danger filter, which is our amygdala. We have our limbic system, which sends out all of the feelings in our body. And then we have the front of our brain or neocortex that like tells us, you know, gives us words to what's happening. So if we want to change our limbic system, we have to do something to change our limbic system, right? We can't think through it. We can't listen to our parents calming us down through it. We got to do something with that. Mm-hmm. And so if you can practice, right, if it's like an angry kind of meltdown and you've got like a kid who like stomps and huffs and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. say like, let's practice stomping and huffing. Right. And really do that together and get really, really silly, like stomping and huffing and, you know, jumping up and down and gnashing your teeth and like, you know, monkeying your arms and all of that stuff and really, really going for it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so instead of like trying to like calm down that energy, it's like pushing into that energy until it gets really silly. So practicing it a bunch ahead of time and then like, you know, encouraging them like, yeah, you're so angry. Let's get really angry. Right. Have you ever done the like crying baby thing? And then they just won't stop. And then you start crying and then they stop and they're like, what are you even doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Same thing. Yep. It snaps them right out of it.
Yeah.
So like really playing with that energy with them, but practicing it ahead of time and playing with it ahead of time. So they know what's coming and it's an opportunity for them to shift without having to calm down, because it's really hard to calm down as you have all those stress hormones, you know, pumping through your body.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I really appreciate that. So we're all working from home together. So like nannies, we often talk about how our office is other people's homes and that can get tricky at times. And now our office and their office is also their home.
Yeah.
Which adds an even further layer. And so sometimes we see parents that are under stress attempt to ease that stress by over-functioning
mm-hmm.
or under-functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Both impact nannies in different ways.
Yeah.
So and nannies end up having to like fill in for that.
Yeah.
Whether it's the over-functioning or under-functioning, especially I find that nannies end up having to fill in for that under-functioning
yeah.
a lot. So if a nanny is finding themselves suddenly micromanaged in a house, what are some strategies for that? So that would be the over-functioning parent.
Yeah. So I would hope, but maybe it's not the case, that with long-term nannying positions that you have like regular like employer-employee conversations, mm-hmm. right? To be able to like check in on that stuff.
Right.
Right. So I would hope that that's the setup. And I'm going to speak to that being the setup because I assume, though I don't know that there's some like manual of best practices for being a nanny. If there was, that would be in it.
Right.
Right. Like maintaining open communication and reasonable expectations.
Yeah.
Right. So having a meeting where you can like check in and say like, hey, you know, hey, Abby, right? Like I noticed that you have a lot of feedback for me lately. And I don't want to jump to conclusions. I'm feeling a little bit micromanaged, right? Is there something going on that you want to prevent me from, like, that you're worried I'm going to do, mm-hmm. right? Or, like, is this, like, you know, a stress response or something like that? Right. So really, like, and not coming from, like, a you need to stop micromanagement me, right? Like, being really curious, like, I'm noticing, I wonder, mm-hmm. right? So being really, like, direct, but open with your language, mm-hmm. right? Because if you have a long-term and like more successful, not so micromanaging relationship with the parents that you work with, mm-hmm. I imagine that that's going to be a winning thing. Right. If you are newer to a family and being micromanaged, you might notice that this isn't a great fit.
Yeah.
Right? So I do talk to parents from time to time that tend to micromanage when they feel like the person who's in their home isn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. Or if they're like mourning some super nanny that they had and now they have like somebody who's like just not that.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're, it's hard to do this right now, right?
Yeah.
And some people's, when you're a high performing person anyway, you tend to be very controlling and micromanaging because you can see all of these things, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's Bettelheim, Bruce Bettelheim, who's this like child development guy from a million years ago, but he used to embrace the idea of good enough, uh-huh. right? So like being a good enough parent mm-hmm. is actually, no kid needs or wants a perfect, wonderful all the time, you know, 150% parent. They don't want that in a nanny. They want somebody who's good enough.
Yeah.
Right. And I imagine if somebody's feeling micromanaged, they might tend to ask their employer more questions than usual because they don't want to get like laid into. And then the employer is going to like read that as a like, can you just like freaking think for yourself
yeah.
or something like that? Right. Like, yeah. why are you asking me? Like, you're supposed to be handling this right now.
Yeah.
Right. But then when I handle it, you're going to yell at me.
Right. Yeah. And if you are listening and you're like, ooh, okay, maybe need to have that conversation. The nonviolent communication episode would be a good one for you to go back and listen to before you have that conversation. Because
yeah.
nonviolent communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would be, I would think that would be the format that you would want to use for that conversation. I'm observing. I feel,
right.
Could we try? And then waiting for the response. How about nannies that suddenly kind of feel like they're just being like tossed the children and told like, good luck, like, bye.
Yeah. So, I think that's going to come down a lot to like what your personality and your style as a nanny.
Yeah.
Right. So if I was in a position and somebody said like, listen, like you're just doing this like later out, see you in 10 hours.
Right.
Right. Like, I find that way easier personally
yes, than
being managed because I'm like, cool, you're out of my hair. I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, you know, if you know, you're going to be there for a certain amount of hours every day or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of us have a tendency sometimes to want to make something like bad and wrong and pass judgment on it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, I'm a social worker by training, and social work always operates from the strengths perspective, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to assume, right, this is like if I was a nanny in this situation where the parents were like, peace out, you know, later, and really checking out. Like, even if they're like, you know, laying in their bedroom eating bonbons and watching soap operas, like, right? I'm going to assume that this parent has had some amount of reflection and insight that you are the best person for their child in those moments. Mm. Right. And so if you can reframe that for yourself, like, all right, cool. Like, these parents can't do this right now. Mm-hmm. And they trust that I can. And I know that I can. Right. So I'm going to be the loving, attentive, attached, you know, curious, engaged adult in their life right now.
Yeah.
Right. I've probably heard from a dozen different parents over the past couple of weeks. I never signed up to be a full-time parent.
Yeah.
Right. Like, a lot of people, you know, 6 or 8 weeks after maternity leave is over, they're back at work. And their kids are in daycare or nanny or whatever. And then they're in school full time. And, you know, I signed up from 4 p.m. to bedtime and from like 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Like, that's and weekends. Right?
Right.
I did not sign up for all of this. And I'm not capable of all of this.
Right.
And had you told me I was required to be a stay-at-home parent, I would have never had kids. Right. Yeah. So, like, as a therapist working with kids and families, I'm hearing that all over the place.
Wow. Right? That's really interesting.
Yeah. So if a family that you're working with is like dealing with that, mm-hmm. and they're checking out and handing the kids to you, like, really reframing, like, okay, you know, these kids are going to have loving attachment for the next however many hours. And I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That reframing is so important. And I have seen several nannies talk about, you know, feeling really frustrated at going to a house and being like, the dad is sitting on the couch, like, watching TV all day. Like, why am I here? And so I think that reframing is very, very helpful. And I think it would be completely fine to ask the dad if he could privately watch TV instead of being in your play space. But yeah, thinking, so like, little things like that might need tweaking, but reframing it as, I'm here to provide that safe attachment for the child.
Right. And, like, you know, maybe this is a dad who's like used to working 12 hours a day or something like that and doesn't have the foggiest idea that even like him being in the living room is like disruptive to the flow for the kids.
Right.
Right. So you can say like, hey, you know, do you want us to just avoid the living room? Is there like, should we be up in your room?
Yeah.
This is the one play space. Right. That you don't have, right.
Yep.
Yeah. So like, that's, again, using that nonviolent communication and just being able to like check in about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. What are some ways that, and we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but what are some ways that nannies can do some extra self-care right now?
So if you are currently spending the majority of your time being attached and caring for others, mm-hmm. right? Like, you have 100% license to not be on another Zoom cocktail hour with somebody.
Yeah.
You do not have to be connected with the people that you're not normally connected to.
Right.
Right. There's like all this, I am like an extreme introvert, and there's all this like, let's get together. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't want any of that. I don't normally talk to you. Like, I'll go on Facebook for half an hour and I'll hang out with you there. Like I normally do, but if I'm not normally having cocktails with you on a Friday night, I'm not doing it now.
Right.
Right. So like, really, like, there are going to be lots of people who want to be connected to you and want more and more of you and more of your attention and time.
Right.
Children are wonderful, but they're energy vampires.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I love kids, but man, do they take it out of you. Mm-hmm. Right. So it is really okay. And I encourage you to like have some real firm boundaries. If you really enjoy Zoom cocktail hours with friends and it's like the best, do it if that fills you up. But anything that you feel like you're doing outside of work that feels like an obligation, right?
Right.
Stop.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Like, you're like, not like, actually just stop. And it's not more complicated than that. People will have their feelings about that. But again, you're not responsible for people's feelings about your boundaries.
Right.
Right. So like you said your dad like observed, like, yeah, we don't really talk to you on the weekends anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, you're right. Like this is a lot right now and I need time to recharge.
Yeah. Yeah. Me driving home is like the best time for me to talk to you. And that's what I've been doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a really good point. And I also think, nannies, often people that are attracted to this career are naturally giving people. Yeah. So yeah, really checking in on your own boundaries. And we have an episode about boundaries as well that might be good to go re-listen to, or listen to for the first time if you haven't, because Katie Leinecke does just a great job of like laying down what that can really mean. Yeah. Do you have any like ideas for questions of how we can like get curious if we're like, I feel off, but I am enjoying the cocktail hours. Like I feel off. How can we like be curious within ourselves about what areas we need?
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite tools is like, I don't know if it comes from nonviolent communication or not actually, but it's, I feel blank about blank because blank. I need one, or it would be helpful if blank.
Yeah.
Right. And really like I'm a big proponent of inside out and those five feelings and only ever dealing with those five feelings, because everything else is just a complicated, you know, mixture of those five feelings.
Right.
Right. So really sitting down, like if you don't know how you're feeling, right, just sit down, like write those like blanks out. And so like, all right, I'm going to start with joy. So I feel happy about, and then list all the things you're feeling happy about. And then like, why am I feeling that way? Like, what's my because about that? Right. Because it, you know, I feel disgusted on Zoom meetings. Right. So I feel disgusted about being on Zoom because it's really fatiguing for me to keep attending to people with like, it feels like I'm trying to, you know, perform surgery with boxing gloves on, right? As a therapist. So like, yeah. You know, I'm missing so much information. So it makes me feel disgusted and annoyed to like be on more of these calls.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but I need to like sit down and journal that to really check in on it. Right. Yeah. So my wife will go be on the calls and I'll like be cooking or whatever I'm doing. I'll be like, hey, and then float away again. Cause they're not for me. They don't, right. You know?
Yeah. They don't fill your cup.
Right. So So doing, I call it the IFAB, cause I feel about because, so if you do the IFAB, right. And really reflect on that stuff, you're going to start getting really clear about what are the things that are helpful or not helpful.
Yeah. That's a great way to go about it.
Yeah. It's really systematic. And like when you're, I don't know how I'm feeling, I'm not feeling anything. Okay, cool. So you're not feeling anything. So let's just write in sadness because it's one of those five feelings. Right. So I feel sad about, well, I feel sad about like, I don't know, I'll speak for myself, right? Like two vacations have been canceled because of this.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I haven't been on like a real vacation in like other than visiting in like 5 years. Right. Yeah. Both of them have been canceled.
Yeah, right? That's really,
I feel sad about that.
Yeah.
Right. The alternative of like getting coronavirus and dying would really suck. And I don't want to do that,
right.
But I still feel sad. So really just kind of, when you don't know what you're feeling, doing the IFAB and like plug and playing just with those five core emotions from inside out is super a helpful, systematic and structured way to do it.
Yeah. And just go watch that movie again because it's so good.
It's brilliant. It was like they wrote it with the partnership of neuroscientists because it really is how our brains and bodies work. I love that. That movie is amazing.
I love that movie too. And man, oh man, the joy and sadness, friendship, really like I was like, oh, way to drag me inside out. Like,
yeah, like, yeah, right.
I do ignore my sadness. You are correct.
Right.
I do, yeah. Try to joy power through things. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And like being a nanny, right? Being somebody who works with kids, it's just like, yeah, I'm stressed out about all these things. And like, hey guys, how's it going? Yeah. Right. Like I literally like grumble to my wife, like, I don't want to do another freaking Zoom meeting. And then I like, you know, I'm like, hey buddy, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
right? That's part of being with kids, is that you have to like kind of put away your stuff, but then the like, you know, when you bring it, you have to remember to bring it back out too.
Right. You have to do kind of your homework of like examining your stuff so that it doesn't pop up.
Yeah.
When you least expect it, or when it's super inconvenient, because you're also dealing with the feelings, the big feelings of a child. So I love that. And I will be probably doing that maybe tonight. I mean, I have been checking in with how I'm feeling, but I love that like systematic approach to it of really making sure that I'm touching on all of the feelings. So that's wonderful. And then just, are there any other areas that you'd like to discuss that you think you have found helpful in your work with families?
Yeah, I guess, I just want to really acknowledge the nannies out there, right? So it is, one, we're dealing with impossible things right now. Like who would have anticipated 4 months ago that we were going to be dealing with a global pandemic, right? And nannies are people who show up for other people, right? Like you're dealing with your own stress, your own worries about yourself and your family and your own finances and everything else that's going on and your own restrictions. And here you are like hopping in your car and like going to somebody's home and taking care of their kids, like come what may, whether they're like, you know, parents who are totally micromanaging you or being completely like, you know, oblivious to like what they're doing or not doing or like completely checking out. You're there for those kids, right? Like you're showing up for them and you're making a difference in their lives. And that is the most important way that any of us could be spending our time, right? Is to like really seeing to these kids and being there for them. So I don't think that nannies and people who care for kids get one iota of the appreciation and acknowledgement of like who they are, right? I remember like we had nannies and housekeepers and babysitters when I was a kid, and I still think about them, right? They like leave this mark on you forever. And like, I'm of the age now where like the kids I was a nanny for are now like grown-ups who are married with their own children and like still share with me fun stuff that we had done together, right? Like you're making a difference on who these little people are for like their whole lives.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's an awesome responsibility.
Yeah.
And I just want to acknowledge you for you and your listeners for being the people who do that. Mm. And, you know, making that difference. Cause it's a humongous difference.
Yeah. Yeah. For my, I think it was my 50th, it might have been my 100th episode, I interviewed my nannies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting because there are things that I still do that I did not know came from them.
Oh, cool.
Like I still think about broccoli as little trees.
Yeah.
Like when I eat it, and they were like, yeah, when we were trying to get you to like eat your broccoli, we were like, pretend like you're a giant and these are trees. And I still like sometimes think that when I eat my broccoli, and I had no idea it came from that. So, and there, you know, 100 things like that of just these tiny little things that have been left on my heart forever. And it's really, really wonderful. So thank you for that. Are there resources that you have found that are extra helpful right now?
I mean, we touched on it a little bit before. I think that the PBS, you know, website for the PBS kids and parents, you know, particular areas of PBS have so much stuff. And it's really, it kind of, you can tell that it's a little bit differentiated, right? So there's like a kid show on wearing masks and like articles on like, how do you do this thing? And it's just, it's like, there are a bajillion different resources out there. The place you bought something from 16 years ago just sent you an email saying that they're there for you, right? There are resources everywhere.
Yes.
So I'm about like efficient access of information. So like go to PBS.
Right.
There's also a great kids podcast called Brains On.
Ooh.
That's like sciencey stuff, but they talk about germs and like what is a germ anyway, and so they've been doing stuff like that. So that's a good resource also.
Thank Thank you.
But I feel like the simplest thing to do, like just go to PBS.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also already in the show notes for you is your Facebook page. So I would highly recommend, I have really been enjoying, it's like become part of my like weekly routine to just kind of go through and watch your videos and be like, okay, what can I take from this and incorporate into my day? Like what is helpful from this? And it's a lot of what you're saying is very helpful, which is one of the reasons I asked you to be on here. So that's already in the show notes. If you're driving while you're listening or doing dishes or whatever, don't worry, you don't have to write it down. It'll be there for you.
All of my videos are also up on my website, which is jendailylicsw.com.
So that not in the show notes too.
Yeah, because not everybody has Facebook. So actually it was my mother-in-law who's like, Jenny, you need to put this on your website so I can see them too. I'm like, okay.
So
they're
links,
all up there also.
Those links will be there for you.
Great.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we end each episode with a cute, fun story. And I brought one this week. So I'm working with 2 2-year-olds right now, and we're really working on sharing. And I have one child who her empathy muscles are very, very strong already. So there will be a disagreement over a toy, and every time she's the one that hands it over, like immediately, even if we go and get a timer and set the timer and I'm like, you can play with it before the timer's done, she hands it over. And so, we've just been working through that, and it's such an odd, funny experience to be like, okay, now I'm working with you to not share.
Yeah.
Like, no, you take this time, girlfriend, like take this time with the toy, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let you know, and I'll deal with your buddy's feelings. Like, I'll deal with her feelings. You play with your toy.
Yeah.
And it's something that I never thought I would have to do as a man. Like,
yeah, right. That's so, you never think that that's what you're going to have to do, but we really do have to start even when they're two. Like, no, you're not, it's still your time. You don't have to give it up if you want to keep playing with it. And like, you deserve time to play too.
Yeah.
Because it starts that early.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, it's fascinating. And there are times, because I've mostly been working in the other child's home, mm-hmm. and the mom is like, I'm glad you're working on this, because I'm worried that when my daughter starts, you know, preschool or daycare or whatever, like, not every kid is going to do that, and it's going to be, like, a huge wake-up call for her.
Right, nice people are always going to be nice, and, like, whatever, the sharing is a whole weird thing anyway, because we as adults are not actually encouraged to share.
No.
Right?
No,
like, if I'm eating my meal and you want my meal, I don't have to give you my meal.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it is. It's a weird boundary thing. And yeah, we've been working on the language around it. Because also that's the empathy, the strong empathy child will also try to share things even when the other child doesn't want them. And right. So, like, that's been causing an issue. So it's so fun and funny to me to be working on, like, I need you to be more selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. Have good boundaries.
Yes. I need you to have good boundaries. And so we've been working on that. But it's funny because, you know, it feels like a reflection of me too, of like, oh, okay, these are areas that I could have better boundaries, so let's all work on this together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Martha. This was a lot of fun.
Great, I'm so glad. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.